And everybody said, amen or woo, right? Good worship, good worship. Again, thank you for allowing Kim and I to go and visit our kiddos in Birmingham. It's just a great time. Ayla Grace turned 2 and Ames turned 3, so we got to celebrate those birthdays. And that was just amazing. But I think one of the greatest things about our time there was just to see how our little ones, especially Ames and Ayla Grace, our little babies, they hadn't started communicating yet, but Ames and Ayla Grace have, and just to hear them to begin to communicate about their God, and, you know, to sing that song. That song comes on, you know, the TV or the radio or whatever, and all of a sudden you hear them singing, Waymaker, Miracle, you know, and they even love that, even when you know, it's like, wow. You know, just to hear how God is beginning to speak into their little hearts, how God is beginning to connect with them, and they're beginning to understand in their own simple way that He is a God that loves them, that He is a God that is with them, that will never leave them, that He is a God that hears them and speaks to them. So thank you for giving us that opportunity to love on them this week. Again, you know, this is a series, Hearing God, that has been, you know, heavy on my heart for the last few months. And so I'm excited about being at this place this morning and beginning to share with you. Today is going to be kind of an introductory message, a very simple message of why it's so important to hear God. Because here's what I know. One of the most basic claims of Christianity is that God speaks to His people. God speaks to His people. All through the Bible, you see the phrase, and God said, and God said, and God said. And so pretty soon you get the idea that God really does speak to people. That God so wants to be in relationship with you and, you know, and me. God so wants a personal relationship. And you can't have that kind of a relationship without communication. Without us, you know, crying out to our God and without He speaking into our hearts. And we're going to talk about the different ways that He does that, you know, in relationship with us. God has chosen to speak to us. But I think a lot of times the problem with communication, and really all communication, but with any communication, communication is often misunderstood. I mean, when Kim speaks to me, I often... A, don't hear it, right? Or what she would call selective hearing. How many of you guys have selective hearing that your wives have diagnosed? Yeah, everybody's pointing. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Or 2, I misunderstand her. You know, I misunderstood what she was saying. And I'm sure I'm not the only man that has ever felt that way, right? And so let me just say this. Men, there are two things that you need to understand about women. And nobody knows what they are, so I can't help you. But if I have that much difficulty communicating with my wife, right, with Kim, who I spend my entire life with and who I love and know, and still we don't always communicate clearly, I mean, how much should you expect there to be communication problems with our God? There are communication problems when it comes to our God and Him speaking to us and us speaking to Him. I read this book a year ago or so called Whisper by Mark Batterson. I encourage you to read it, to pick it up. A lot of the things that I will be sharing as we walk through this will kind of be spurred on or encouraged on by his book here. And one of the things that he writes in there is this story about this man named Dr. Alfred Tomatis. Let me just read it to you. He says this. He says, more than a half century ago, Dr. Alfred Tomatis was confronted with the most curious case of his 50-year career as an ear, nose, throat, and throat doctor or specialist. He had a renowned opera singer come to him that had mysteriously lost his ability to hear certain notes. And even though those notes were well within his vocal range, he still couldn't, you know, he began not to be able to sing them. And he had been to other ear, nose, and throat specialists, all of whom thought it was a vocal problem. Dr. Tomatis thought otherwise, though. He used a sonometer to, you know, and he discovered that even an average opera singer produces 140 decibel sound wave at a meter's distance. That's slightly louder than a military jet taking off from an aircraft carrier. And the sound is even louder inside one's skull. And so that discovery led to a diagnosis. The opera singer had been deafened by the sound of his own voice. Selective muteness was caused by selective deafness. Dr. Tomato said, if you can't hear a note, you can't sing that note. So in Dr. Tomato's words, he said, the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. So the French Academy of Medicine dubbed it the Tomatis effect. And Batterson says, you know, maybe we have a spiritual Tomatis effect. It's possible that what you and I perceive to be relational, emotional, spiritual problems are actually maybe hearing problems. Ears that have been maybe deafened to the voice of God. And he goes on to say that it's that inability to hear the voice, his voice, that causes us to kind of lose our voice or to lose our way in our life. And so learning how to hear the voice of God, I believe, is the answer to a lot of our issues, to a lot of our problems. It's also the most important thing to discovering God's plan for our life, His potential for us. Batterson says His voice is love and power. His voice is healing. His voice is wisdom. His voice is joy. And so if our life is kind of out of balance, if it's off key, so to speak, maybe it's because you and I have been deafened by other voices in our lives. Maybe we've been so distracted by all the things that are going on in our lives and in our relationships and in our world that they drowned out the very voice of God. And as we've talked about over the last few weeks, maybe it's even the negative self-talk that we get, you know, into the habit of doing about ourselves, where we begin to tell our own self that, you know, Monty, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. And our negative self-talk is so loud that we can't, you know, God's voice can't get through, right? We can't hear Him say, no, you're forgiven, you're valuable, you're acceptable, you're lovable. Or maybe for you, you've listened to so many outside critical voices in your life for so long that you can't believe anything about yourself. Or maybe for us, it's the enemy's voice and how he speaks condemnation to us and how he lies about who you really are. Here's what I know. If we don't begin to silence those outside voices, or even the voices that maybe we speak into our own heart and our own spirit, we don't begin to silence those and begin to bring those competing voices down, they will eventually deafen us to the very voice of God. You won't be able to sing God's song, so to speak. You won't be able to hear His voice, His purpose, His plan, His direction in your life. And so one of the questions that Batterson asks in his book is this, and I'm going to ask it this morning, is God's voice the loudest voice in your life? I mean, that's the question, right? Is God's voice the loudest voice in your life? And if it's not, well, then that's a problem. Because we are living in days, we are living in a culture where everyone wants to have his or her voice heard, but really has so little to say. And I think that's because we do so little listening, especially to our God. And so here's a prayer as we begin this series that I want to encourage you to pray. I'm going to share this story next week. You remember the story about little Samuel. He was being mentored by the priest Eli, and he was there in the temple, and he was getting wakened up by this voice that was speaking to him, and he thought it was Eli, so he'd run to Eli and say, "What do you want?" He goes, "I don't want anything. Go back to bed," right? And finally, Eli realized that it was God speaking to him, and so 1 Samuel 3:9, Eli gives him this instruction. He says to Samuel, Next time you hear that voice, just say these words, seven words. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that's it's a powerful, really a bold prayer, but I want to encourage all of us as we step into this series on hearing God to begin to pray that prayer when we step into that moment and that time with our God, talking and communicating with Him, that we would say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I also want to say as I begin this that sometimes I'm very skeptical of people who seem to always have a clear word from God. I don't know if you're that way, but I really believe sometimes there's a lot of stupid things that have been done by people who claim that God has spoken to them. And so I'm always skeptical about that and hesitant about that, that God told me this, and they seem to always have a clear word. And I also, some people think that pastors always understand exactly what God wants us to do, right? And let me just say, that's not true. I'm often as confused as everybody else about what God is saying, what God is trying to say. I mean, maybe some of you think I do have a little phone in my office, a little bat phone, or a little God phone, and I just pick it up and God tells me what to say to you and what I should say and what He wants to say to me. That's not true at all. I mean, He doesn't send me an email. He doesn't send me a tweet or an Instagram. I don't have a fax machine to, connect directly to God. Sometimes I'm just as much in the dark about hearing God as you are. On the other hand, though, there are times in my life when God speaks, when I have no doubt at all that it is God speaking to me. It's very similar to like when Kim calls me, right, on the phone. I don't have to ask who it is, right? I know her voice because of the relationship that we have. I just know instantly, right? There are times when God speaks to me when I know exactly who it is. When He begins to put maybe an idea in my mind or an impression prompted by His Holy Spirit, right? I know it's Him. And I think the difference is it's in my attitude. It's when I have this attitude of surrender, where I'm willing just to surrender everything to Him and humble myself and really begin to focus in on Him speaking to me, that I recognize His voice. Listen, nothing is more important to you than understanding that God wants to talk to you and that you can actually hear Him if you just tune Him in, if you just tune Him in. Our little granddaughter, Ayla Grace, when she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing or she's not obeying the first time, her mama will look at her and say, Ayla Grace, Ayla Grace, and Ayla Grace will snap around. She knows that tone, right? And Haley will say, Ayla Grace, you got your ears on? And Ayla Grace will go, I don't know if that's sarcastic or whatever, but it's cute. And she'll go, every time, you got your ears on? And I think that's what we need to begin to do, to make sure that we are tuning in to God's voice. You probably are too young for this, but back in the 70s, there was a fad called CB radio. Anybody have a CB radio in your truck, your car, your air coat, just a CB radio? I had one of those. People were putting things in, they were putting those things in their cars. It was crazy. It was a crazy time. They were sayings like, 10-4, good buddy. 10-4, good buddy. Or you put the battle to the metal, or Smokey from the Oaky, or, one of the phrases was this, got your ears on? You remember? Got your ears on? That meant, are you tuned in? Are you listening? And what I love about that is the phrase wasn't an original to the CB radio. Actually, Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. In Luke 8:8, the parable of the seed and the sower, this will be another parable we'll look at in a few weeks. But Jesus says, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And He said these things. As He said these things, He called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. What's He talking about? He's talking about if you got the equipment you need, if you got the equipment, you need to tune it in. Yeah, and let me just say, if you're a follower of Christ, you got the equipment. If you're a creation by God, you got there. The point is, God has already given you the capacity to hear Him. The Bible says that you and I were made in His image. That's what makes human beings different from animals. You know, you're not like an animal. Animals don't pray. Animals don't communicate to God. Animals don't hear from God. But you can, because you are made in God's image. And the equipment that you already need to hear God, you have it. You got it. You just have to learn to tune it in. God says, I've already given you the ability to hear me, but you need to tune me in. Get your ears on. You've got to be tuned in order to hear God speak. When we go to camp sometimes, we carry walkie-talkies with us so that all the leaders can communicate to each other. And sometimes we get on stations or a channel where we can't hear. We got other traffic, other distractions on those channels. And so we have to keep turning the channel until we find one that is clear and that it's just only us on that channel so that we can hear each other crystal clear. And I think that's the way it is with God sometimes. God has spoken to you, but it hasn't come through crystal clear because you're not on the right channel. I mean, right now, this room is filled with radio waves, right? You don't hear them because you're not tuned in. I mean, they're even traveling through your body right now. It just freaks me out to know that there's just, radio waves going on around us. But the fact is, you can have the greatest radio of all or sound system on. You can have a Bose Wave radio, but if you don't tune it in, you're still not going to receive anything, no matter how great the radio is. You got to be tuned in. And right now, God is speaking to many of you. You don't see it, maybe you don't hear it, but He really is, right? But maybe the reception is a little fuzzy. And so over the next several weeks, we're gonna look at how do you know when it's God talking to you? How do you hear God? How do you tune in to God? How do you know when it's God talking and not the pizza that you ate the night before, right? How do you really know that He's talking to you? And we're going to look at some of the ways that you can really know that when it's God and when it's someone else. And of course, the number one way, and we'll talk about this next week, is God speaks through His Word, right? I mean, Scripture is the key way that God speaks to us. That's the starting point. But He also whispers to us in other ways. He whispers to us, I think, sometimes through dreams or through just the desires of our heart or, when we're in right relationship with Him. He begins to talk to us through promptings from His Holy Spirit or through the convergence of our circumstances, through an impression that comes from His Spirit, through good things, through bad things, through pain, through other people. I mean, there are ways in the Bible that tells us how to know when it's God talking to you and when it's not God. That's why it's so important to hear from God. And I want to just give you three reasons this morning why it's so important to really hear God speak. Very simple ones, but so important. The first one is just family. Family. It assures me that I am part of God's family. It verifies, that I am a believer, a follower of Christ. It kind of confirms for me that I have a relationship with Christ when He begins to talk to me, and speak to me through His Word and through His Spirit. If I talk to God, I should be able to hear back from Him. That's what it means to have a relationship with Him. You cannot have a relationship with Him without communication. And so if you never hear from God, you have reason to question whether you have a relationship with God or not. If you never really hear from God, you have to question whether you are listening to Him at all. The proof that you really know Jesus Christ, that you have a relationship with God, is that you hear God speak to you. And so maybe that's the starting point for you this morning, that as He speaks into your heart, as He draws you, you get this pulling in your gut, in your spirit that says, hey, I want to have a personal forever relationship with you. And you really don't understand that or know what that is, but you know that He's calling you and that pulling you into that, and you just surrender and say yes to Him. Invite Him in to be your Lord, to be your Savior. Jesus said in John 10:27, He said, my sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so if you've never heard God speak to you, if you've never sensed His speaking to you in your heart and in your mind, you have every reason to doubt that maybe you're not even a believer. Maybe you're not in the family of God. You've never made that decision to know Him in that very personal way. So you have every reason to doubt it, because Jesus said, "Those who are mine hear my voice." Some of you here this morning are brand new believers, and when you first get started, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to figure out, is this God talking to me or not? You're not really used to His voice. But if you're really a child of God, you're going to get to know your Father's voice. Just as Kim, when I call my kids, I don't have to say, "This is Monty, your father calling you," right? Now, I know I got a pretty distinctive voice, pretty southern voice, but I probably could call any of you and you go, "Hi, Monty." Yeah. But I don't have to announce that. I don't have to say, "Hey, I'm Monty, this is Monty, your father," right? They know my voice. And when they call me, even though they're very similar in their voice, Hunter and Jacob, they don't have to say, "This is Hunter" or "This is Jacob." I know immediately which one it is because of the relationship I have with them. And because I have a relationship with my God, as you grow in that relationship, you begin to learn to recognize your Father's voice. If you don't have that, if you don't ever hear God speaking to you, maybe you need to begin to say, "Okay, do I really have a relationship with you, God?" And start there. And just surrender your life to Him and ask Him to come in to be your Lord, to be your Savior, and begin that relationship with Him so that you can begin to hear Him speak to you. That relationship is available to anybody who says, "Jesus, I want a relationship with you. God, I want to know you. I want to communicate with you." Because some of you know about God, but you don't really know Him. I think Coach talked about this last week. You know about God, but you don't really know Him. Some of you know about Jesus, but you don't really know Him. You have this religion, you have this, "I believe in God" kind of thing, but you don't have a personal, forever relationship with Him. I mean, there's a guy, for example, who comes to my house every single day of my life except Sunday, and he's called my mailman. I know this guy. I know his name. His name's David. I know what he looks like. I say hi to him, right? He's even brought gifts to my door, but I don't really know him. I don't really know him, right? We certainly don't share life together. We're not friends, best friends, right? I know about him, but I don't really know him. That's the difference. One of the reasons we want you to grow spiritually is so that you can begin to recognize, sort out God's voice from all the other voices that are out there. And it's a lifetime project, right? It's a lifetime journey. But we're going to begin to learn to recognize His voice so that we can begin to hear Him for the rest of our lives. And listen, as you grow in your relationship with Him, it gets easier. The better you get to know Christ, the better you begin to recognize and sort out His voice from all the other things that you're hearing out there. It just proves that you're a part of the family of God. It's one of the reasons that you and I have to recognize it's very important to be able to hear from God. Another one is very simply protection. It protects me from, making bad choices or decisions. If I will listen to God, He will warn me in advance of traps in my life. He will keep His promise. I've told the students one of my favorite passages in the whole Testament is Proverbs 3, 1 through 6, a very familiar passage. And the reason I like it so much is because there's some do not statements through there. There's some detailed demands that God says, if you will not do this, this is the God-like result that you will receive. This is the promise that I will bring into your life. Let me just read some of them to you. It'll be a reminder to our students. But Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." There's the do not statement, the detailed demand. "But let your heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." The detailed demand, the do not statement is, "Do not forget my teaching. Hold on to my word." Hide it in your heart. And if you do that, the promise, the protection is, He'll bring His peace into your life. Anytime you get outside of the principles of the Word of God, there'll be no peace. But if you hold on to it, if you begin to hide them in your heart, he says, my peace I will add to you. Then look in verse 3, it says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. The detail to man, the do not statement is do not let kindness and truth leave you. Man, we need that more than anything in these days, right? To be a person of kindness and a person of truth. You know, that's a hard combination, but that's what he says, you know, we need to do. Don't let that stuff leave you. And the promise of protection is I will have successful relationships with God and with others. And then my favorite is verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord God, in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You know, the detailed demand, the do not statement is do not lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure out this in your own understanding, in your own wisdom, right? But trust Him. In all of your ways acknowledge Him. And the protection, the promise of protection is He'll make your path straight. You'll get to know and do God's will. I love verse 6 in the Message. It says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one that will keep you on track. And I don't know about you, but I can't count the number of times when somewhere in my morning or in my day, I'm trying to listen to God and He says, do not do this or watch out for this. And either through a Bible verse or, you know, a thought that comes into my mind and, you know, watch out for this today. And somewhere in that day, He protects me from making the stupidest mistake I could ever make. And God will do that for you if you will listen to Him. He will protect you from making mistakes. It's just a common thing in life. God has the power to do that if we only listen to Him. Some of you have been challenged to put other priorities ahead of God and of your family. And God says, that's foolish. Don't do that. Some of you are here maybe and you're considering divorce. And God says real clearly, don't. You know, slow down. Talk to someone. Some of you are considering maybe moving in with somebody who's not your husband or your wife and not marrying them. God says, don't. Listen, every time I ignore God's will, I'll get into trouble. There'll be no peace. Some of you are being challenged to make an unethical decision at work, and God is saying, don't do it. And He'll protect you from making mistakes. Sometimes He protects us from those mistakes by saying one word, don't, do not. Right? But sometimes God gets us in the right direction and He keeps us on track by using three syllables. Go for it. You and I, when we listen to God, He will keep us on track. I love how the psalmists write about how they run to His protection. They retreat to their God when stuff is going on around them that they need His presence. They retreat to their God. They refer to Him as their refuge, their fortress, their ever-present help in time of need. They speak of Him as the shelter of the Most High or the shadow of the Almighty, right? But my favorite one is the hiding place. Psalms 32:7 says, oh God, You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And I love that picture of God singing songs of deliverance all around us and all around you all the time. You and I can't hear them because they're kind of outside of our hearing ability, right? But you're surrounded by this sonic shield of songs of deliverance sung by your God. And I just imagine that these songs are powerful enough to deliver us from whatever bondage that we're in or whatever addiction that we can't seem to get rid of or whatever struggle that we're going through. There's this You know, these songs are what keeps the weapons of the world around us from being able to get to us. Remember what we said earlier, the voice can reproduce only what the ear can hear. And so I'm not sure what your problem is today or what issues you're struggling with that you need to resolve. But it's my prayer as we walk through this series is that you'll learn to discern the voice of God. And that when you do, His songs of deliverance can become real for you and they can set you free. Someone challenged me one day, says, quit hiding from God, money, and hide yourself in Him. Hide yourself in Him. The third reason I think it's very important for us to hear God and to listen to God is success. It's really the secret of really a productive life. It gives us the opportunity to have personal success. In Psalms 32:8, it says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And when I say success, I'm not talking about the world's success. That would be selfishness. But I'm talking about God's success, which would mean significance. True significance in life. God has this definition of success where it is a plan for your life, His purpose for your life. And as you listen to Him, He gets you back on track and He begins to fulfill His plan for your life. It's a customized plan just for you. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And so the more I listen to God, the more effective I'll be. And I think it's the secret to having this productive, significant life that comes from listening to God moment by moment. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose, I love this, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Listen, the more I depend on God's guidance, the more successful I am. And success is knowing God's will and being right in the center of His will. As I said a couple of weeks ago, if you want to make an impact with your life, if you want to be effective, it's real simple. Tune in to God and do what He tells you to do. I want to close with this story from 1 Kings, a very familiar story. I spoke on it several weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so, the story of Elijah. And I want to go back and just kind of finish this message off today with the story again. It's in 1 Kings 19. It says, go out, starting with verse 11. I'm going to start with verse 11. It says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, Elijah, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I've always wondered if Elijah was surprised by the way in which God spoke. You know, I think sometimes if we just are looking for God in the sensational or in the, you know, crazy signs, that we'll miss sometimes the gentle whisper of His voice. Elijah was hiding in a cave, depressed and on the run for his life. And you know the story. He had just come off the mightiest miracle of his life, right? He was one of those mountaintop experiences where God showed up in a huge way and He sent rain down, fire down from heaven. And Elijah stood there alone against hundreds of false prophets. He called his nation back to God. It was awesome. And you can read about that in 1 Kings 18. And you would think that he was invincible after that. But soon after that, the king's wife put Elijah's name on the top of the nation's most wanted list, dead or alive, and it was enough to push Elijah over the edge, and he ran. And I think mistreatment and misunderstanding can do that. Elijah had had enough. He was licking his wounds, thinking that he was the only one left who served God. And look where it got him. I'm so impressed by how God dealt with the prophet, and especially the way that he spoke with him. I think it teaches us a lot about hearing the voice of God. Rather than scolding Elijah, God puts on, you know, this huge display, that would draw Elijah out of his cave of depression and redirect his ministry with power and even with greater purpose. But how did God speak to him? I mean, his voice wasn't in the mighty windstorm, it wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the fire. But God spoke to him with the sound of a gentle whisper that asked Elijah a simple question. What are you doing here, Elijah? And I really think if God had spoken in other means, maybe Elijah would have been too afraid to respond. But it was that divine whisper that drew him out of the cave and really enabled Elijah to begin to pour his heart out to his God. So with a gentle whisper, God was able to speak to Elijah in a way where he felt safe to respond. The King James Version calls it a still, small voice. I think sometimes we dismiss as insignificant, the natural phenomenon that preceded the whisper, the earthquake, the fire, God was not in them. But I bet that got Elijah's attention. Here's what I know. God has an outside voice, and he's not afraid to use it. But when God wants to be heard, when what he has to say is too important to miss, he often speaks in a whisper. And that's what God wants. I think the goal of hearing our Heavenly Father's voice isn't just hearing His voice. It's also intimacy with Him. Here's an example of that. If this is God and this is you, this right here would be an expression of intimacy, right? But God wants to go even deeper. His intimacy looks more like this. When he really begins to saturate every area of your life and gets down into the depths of your life and really begin, you are begin, and then there's intimacy. Intimacy to me means into me see. God begins to be able to see into your heart, and you begin to be able to see into the very heart of God. And intimacy begins to take place, and we begin to hear his voice. And I think that's why he speaks in a whisper. He wants us to get as close to him as possible. He loves us that much. He wants to be in relationship with us that much. You do that with your kids, right? You ever done that when, you tell your kids, hey, come over here. I want to say something to you. Come on. And you're going to whisper to them, right? And you're going to say, come on, come on. And when they get real close, all of a sudden you just grab them and hug them, right? It's more about the relationship, the intimacy. That still, small voice of God speaking into your heart. We want to hear what he says, but he wants us to know just how much he loves us. Have you ever heard that whisper of God? I mean, it could be the gentle prompting that directs you or a question that calls you to seek deeper, a deeper understanding of his word. Instead of seeking some sign or some sensational, you begin to listen for that still, small voice of God speaking into the depths of your heart. Listen, nothing has the potential to really change your life like the whisper of God. Nothing will determine his purpose, his plan for your life more than his still, small voice. I think that's how you begin to discern his good, pleasing, and perfect will that Romans 12 talks about. It's how you begin to recognize those divine appointments and begin to step into those. You recognize the gentle, small voice of God. And that's my challenge for us as we kind of step into this season of prayer. To every one of us to begin to lean into His whisper. To really lean in and listen for His whisper. That's how, you know, intervention comes. That's how miracles begin to happen. When you and I lean into His whisper and have the courage and the boldness to say, "Speak, Lord. Speak, for Your servant is listening." Pray with me, please. Sometimes I wonder why God goes to all the trouble to really talk to us and want to speak to us. And then I know it's because of His love for us. Because you matter to Him. Because you are so important to Him. He created you not just to take up space on this earth, but to be in a relationship with Him, on mission for Him, to fulfill His purpose in your life. You were made to have a relationship with God. And if you don't ever establish that relationship, you will die missing your very purpose for life. You will miss the very reason you were created. He wants to have a relationship with you. So if you are here this morning and you know you've never said yes to Him, you know you've never surrendered your life to Him and ask Him to come in and be your Lord and Savior, you have that opportunity right now in this space to do that, to hear His Holy Spirit begin to draw you into relationship with Him. Right where you are, to be able just to right now surrender to Him and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. And begin to believe in the depths of your heart that God demonstrated His love to you and sent His Son Jesus to go to the cross, to pay for your sins, to pay for what keeps us separated from our God. And that through the cross and His death and the burial and the resurrection, you are now able to step into a forever relationship with Him by just coming to Him and asking Him to be your Lord, to be your Savior. Say, "God, come in. Forgive me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Begin to change me. Begin to speak to me." Some of you maybe even sense God speaking to you this morning. What is God saying to you today? Hebrews 3:15 says, "Today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your heart, do not push Him away, but listen. Listen and obey." No matter how long you've ignored God and His voice, He still loves you. And He still wants and desires that relationship with you. Would you listen to Him this morning? Would you surrender your life to Him? Would you ask Him to help you to push all the distractions, all the other voices out of your mind and head and heart, and so that you can hear Him and His still small words? Will you get close enough to Him? Will you really know Him? Begin to have an intimate relationship with Him? Will you have the courage and boldness to right now say, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening"? Father, hear our prayers. Speak to us this morning. Give us the courage to respond to Your call on our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.